all the sages, ask, read any life history of any sage, they say the world is an insane asylum. Yes. Because our values are nothing. We put big values on something trifle, something temporary. We never put values on real things. All our values are about unreal things. So they call it insane asylum. The baby knows that. Why are you pushing me into this insane asylum, God? He cries. And we do, hey, one more member to our asylum, come on, distribute candies. And then having come and lived and suffered enough, after several years, decades, if the soul gets released and say, all right, I'm getting out of this asylum, bye-bye to you, the soul goes happily, what do? We cry. A soul comes crying, we laugh. A soul goes laughing, we cry. Are you angry with me? Am I not saying the thing that it happens in our life? Yeah. Why should the baby cry? It's true. Because we put our imprints. We never realize that every soul brings its own destiny. And fortunately or unfortunately, God never created a duplicate of anything. Everything is different from the other. The modern science proves even two snowflakes are not exactly the same. Yeah. We are not the same. Look at our thumb impression. Huh? The FBI makes the best use of it. We can't agree even in this area. We are completely different from each other. We may have some commonalities, but intrinsic imprints are different. I am unique. God wanted me to be like this. That's it. He never created another person like me. Because I have to do a job and only I can do that. But God created you to do a job and only you can do it. You are unique. Like our limbs of the body. This finger can do only a certain job. This finger can do a different job. They are all both fingers in the same palm. Each one is unique. So who is superior? Who is inferior in this? Are the legs superior? Are the inferior and the head superior? No. If the head claims superiority, the leg might get offended. The leg might not walk out. Then if the head wants to go and see a movie, the head has to go by itself. The leg will strike. I'm an inferior fellow. I don't want to come with you to the movie. I stay behind, you go. There's no superiority. Or inferiority. We are all equal. Every little thing in this world, a mosquito is as great as you. We don't realize this. We simply say, oh, that's a little insect. God created mosquito for us a good purpose, like you have been created for another good purpose. Sometimes people ask me, then what is the purpose of the mosquito? I found a purpose for mosquitoes. When you simply sit and think that you are meditating and sleep, the mosquitoes come and wake you up. So everything has a purpose. Everything is little different from the other. So our education means not to squeeze our thoughts into those tender brains. No. The Eastern name, the South Indian name for education is Kalvi. Kalvi means dig well. Kalvi, dig well. You simply bring out what he has brought. You bring that to the surface. Not that you put something into that. No. Every child comes with something special. A teacher's duty is simply to bring that to the surface. So that he or she can fulfill the job well. But here, it's nothing but brainwashing. We never allow them to develop their own inborn traits. We all want everybody to be like me, like you. Insist on, do this, this is the only way. That's why the world is in a mess now. They have no right to interfere in the nature's way. If at all there is something common that we all should learn, to recognize one's own inborn nature and use it for the well-being of everybody. We have come here to serve everybody, to be useful to everybody equally. There's nothing wrong. Take for example, nowadays we are all frightened of nuclear energy, atomic energy. Is there anything wrong with that? Yes, energy is nothing wrong, it's neutral. Why is it being converted into bomb? Who makes it? The individuals. In the hands of the wrong individual, it becomes killing bomb. If it is in the hands of the right people, it will become soothing bombs. Yes, how you use it. And atomic energy, nuclear energy is nothing new. The modern scientists may claim that we invented that now. If you read the ancient scriptures, you see these traces of informations there. Many literature in the Indian mythology, you see these multiple warheads. Rama Ravana Yuddham. Rama aims one arrow, it divides into 10. Multiple warheads. Arjuna did that, but they were all kept secret and given only in the right person's hand. It was not openly given to everybody. But today, in the name of science, we simply allow it to everybody's hand. And they use it for their own selfish reasons, either individuals or countries. Atomic energy is nothing new. It has been worshipped as Lord Nataraja. You know the dancing god Shiva? It's nothing but the expression of the atomic energy. When Nataraja dances, the head stays in the same position without any movement. All other limbs swing. That's how he dances. The head is the nucleus. All other limbs are electrons. They dance around. Your Shivalinga is nothing but atomic energy. The avada around is the electron. The central linga is a neutron. Even the modern scientists say the linga, the neutron is of reddish glow. The electrons are greenish glow. If you read the quality of the Shivalinga, the Shivalinga is red in color. The avada that sits in is green in color. How do they find those colors? Now take a torch, a red glow torch. torch. Move it fast up and down. It will look like a standing pillar. Take a green torch and go round and round and round. It will make a circle. And that's what Shivalinga. They deified it. They worshipped it. But here, we are using the energy for wrong purpose. So it's not the energy, it's we. So the change must happen in the human mind. Physical change never helps. That's why in a way even communism fails. Because by law they want to make everybody equal. It's not possible. Our true religion is the best communism. It wants us all to treat everybody equally. The whole humanity is our family. The Bhagavad Gita says, if you cook for yourself, you are a thief. Can you imagine that? Cook for others. And whatever is left over, eat. That is the admonition given in Bhagavad Gita. What better communism you need then? Their communism, at least equal division. Here it says, don't live for your sake, live for others' sake. Give everything to others. If there is anything left over, you can enjoy. Is it not a better communism? But there, they are trying to change the mind of the people so that they can voluntarily give, not by law. You cannot force anybody with the law. The more you force, the more you rebel, you create revolution. How much does enlightenment depends upon one's own efforts and upon grace from above? Can we do it entirely by ourselves? You can do it by yourself. No doubt about it. But there is a danger. Because you feel that you are doing it yourself. There's a little danger. So even though it's ultimately you who are doing, if you just transfer the merit to somebody above, you are safe from that ego. Devotion, bhakti is much better than jnana. Jnanam is all by yourself. Aham brahmasmi. I am that Brahm. Yes. Which I? You say I am that Brahm. Which I, sir? Unfortunately, there are two I's. One is a capital I. Pure, simple, one stroke, I. See? God created us all with just one stroke. That's why we call ourselves, I am so and so. I. One stroke. With simple one stroke, you are a capital I. But you don't like to remain pure, simple, capital I. You want a little decoration. So what do? You just put a dot over your head. When the simple, pure, one-stroke capital I gets a dot over its head, what does it become? It's no more a capital I. It becomes a little I. I think you all English knowing people, no?
Yeah.
The little eye has a dot over it. And what do you do to become, make the little eye big eye? Huh? Simply remove the dot, that's all. Simply erase the spot. You become spotless. Unfortunately, the moment you put a spot on your head, you are in a tight spot. You have been spotted. That's what. To raise from the little to the big is that easy. You are already big. That eye is always there. You can never become somebody else. But the only thing is the association of little something. I have something. Associated with something. Even a little dot is enough to make you small. You are no more big. We are that. That is, to understand that is enlightenment. But in the process, somehow if you think that you are getting it, even the scriptures, nowadays everything is in print, everybody can buy the book, read it. But are we ready to understand certain books? Reading anybody can do. Reading is not enough, understanding is enough. That is important. That's why in those days, even the Vedantic scriptures begin with a warning to the person who gives this to the student. A warning to the teacher. If you give this book in the hands of the improper student, the student who is not yet ready to understand this, you will go to hell. Clearly written there. What does that mean? If you give a student who is still having that spot overhead, egoistic, without even knowing what the real pure I is, and you let him say, Aham Brahmasmi, what will he think? The little I is the Brahman for him. He becomes more egoistic. And this happened even long before, between an asura and a sura. The king of the devas, Indra, and the king of the asuras, the devils. They both went to a teacher, asking for upadesh, advice how to understand ourselves. He simply looked at them both and said, well, why are you searching for yourself? It's already here. Well, sir, we want to see. Okay, go to the well. Look down on the water. What you see is you. Because in those days they never had mirrors. So they both went. Stood at the top of the well and bent down, they saw their shadows there. And they said, well, now we got the self. This is the self. They were happy, they went back home, thinking that the body is the self, because that's what they saw. It had the face, hands, everything, shoulder. And the king of the demons, he never came back. He started decorating the body, feeding the body, giving everything to the senses and the body. He said, that's the self. But this person, Devendra, he went there and he contemplated on it. What is this? No, there's something wrong. The word, the self is infinite, eternal, non-changing. But here the body is changing every minute. It's becoming older and older and older. Every day it's becoming older. The white hair becomes grey hair. I mean the black hair becomes grey hair. Losing limbs. This cannot be the self. So he went back again. Then the teacher advised him, who is the one who analyzed this? That must be the self. Go. He came back. Again he sat for several years, thought of it. No, this is just mental, my mental imagination, my curious mind. Even the mind is not always the same. Sometimes it's happy, sometimes it's unhappy. Now this cannot be the self. He went back again. Like this, back and forth, until at last, when he negated everything, what was left over is the pure self. He realized that. See the difference in studentship. That's what. So the Vedantic formulas, Aham Brahmasmi, Prajnanam Brahma. To know this, there needs a qualification to the student. So the qualification you get only when you are completely free from all your egoism. It should be absolutely clean, pure mind. Blessed are the pure. They shall see God. Purity even from egoism. And for that to be safe, say, God, I can't clean myself. Even in the process of cleaning, I become unclean. I become egoistic. You take care of it. It's ultimately you, no doubt. But you have to give yourself to a higher consciousness. You are having a link with the higher source. Then you have much more broader outlook in life. You are no more this little individual self. That is the advantage of leaving to somebody above or below or behind or front. Higher consciousness, that's what you call God. And that very same God is functioning here also. But this is because of my limitation, I am limiting it. When I become, take away the limitation, I join myself with the higher awareness. Then you attribute the credit to the higher one, not to you. He said, as an individual, I couldn't have done it. There's a safety in that. And it's easy also. That's what you call complete surrender to God in the devotional way. Even there, there seems to be the intelligence brings a lot of arguments. To give you an example, in the Hindu system, there is a section called Vaishnavites, like people who worship Shiva or Saivites. People worship God as Vishnu or Vaishnavites. And there is again two groups. One group will say, oh, I should be like a little monkey baby. Wherever I want to go, but my monkey mother should carry me. But all I have to do is to hold on to the monkey's body, the mother's body. You know, the monkey, baby monkeys move around by holding the monkey's, mother monkey's body. and the monkey, mother monkey jumps around. But there is still a little fear. The baby holds the mother. Though it depends on the mother, it holds the mother by its strength. If it loosens the grip, it will fall out. But still, it's depending on the mother to move around. That is one class of thought. Another school says, even that is not possible for me. Who am I? How can I hold on to her? No. Let me just cry if I want to move around. Let her come and catch my back like a kitten. It's called Marchala Nyayam and Markada Nyayam. Markadam is monkey, Marchala kitten. Both the babies depend on the mother. But here the monkey baby depends on itself and its strength to hold the mother. There the kitten, even that is given to the hands of the mother. Total surrender. But in that name, they are divided into two big groups. Both insist on their right, and they even kill each other. But the point here is surrendering. Even in the name of surrender, we get into a little ego. Even that should go away. Even one little attachment is enough to separate us, keep us far away from that communion. Abraham was a great devotee. Great devotee. God loved him. God gave him everything. And God gave him a son too. When he was ready to come to God, God said, you are completely not yet free. You still have an attachment to your son. You have given me everything, but you have forgotten that I gave you the son. Give the son back to me, then you are free. Only then you can come to me. Is it not so? So ultimately, Abraham realized, yes, I should sacrifice this boy. Maybe that's why God asked me to give him the name Isaac. I have to sacrifice him. That's why he wanted me to name him Isaac. And here I am holding on to him as my baby. No, God, it's yours. Now I realize. See, even the Bible has that pun. So, as soon as he sacrificed the Isaac, he became Abraham. Abraham. The Hindu Supreme Almighty is Brahm. Abraham, Abraham. There are many, many stories of the devotees to show that even the little I can do should be surrendered. And that's a safe way. Now everybody goes the safe way nowadays. What is the precise relationship between prana and breath? What is the precise relationship between pranayama and breathing? Both the same question. Breath is the air that we breathe in. The breath contains prana also. The air has all kinds of gaseous substances, oxygen, nitrogen, hydrogen, and so on. Over and above, it has the vital energy, the prana. So when you breathe in, you breathe all the gases plus prana. Mainly the oxygen goes into the lungs and gets dissipated into the bloodstream, and in return takes the carbon particles from the bloodstream and comes out as carbon dioxide. But the prana doesn't stop with the lungs alone. It goes all over the body. And by conscious breathing, you can even divert the prana to any part you want. The prana functions with the mind. Man manam engundu, vayuvum angundu is the saying of a great siddha. Wherever the mind goes, the prana follows, and vice versa. That is why pranic healing is possible. The prana need not go only into your body. You can divert your prana into other bodies also. Distant healing is possible. If you could charge yourself with a lot of prana, you can simply send it without any jumping cable. Like your fully charged battery can give a little current to the discharged battery and start the car. The same way there are discharged batteries walking around. If you could keep yourself fully charged, even by thought you can have a link and you can instill some prana into the other person. Pranic healing, distant healing, healing by thought. All this happens by prana. And remember, even when there is no breathing, when there is no air, prana is there always. Everything moves with the help of prana. The cosmic vital energy. Even thoughts move by prana. That's why the yoga principle is to educate, to handle, and to have mastery over that prana, which moves the body, which moves the breath, which moves the mind. But you begin with the gross things. It's almost like using a car. When you drive a car, you start a car. If you know a little bit of automobile engineering, the movement of the car begins at the piston. You simply start the key and then the plug, spark plug sparks, and then by the compression stroke the piston moves down. And then from the piston there is a connecting rod, and the connecting rod goes to the axle, the transmission rod, crankshaft, gearbox, transmission rod, and then the axle, and the axle to the wheel. So the movement begins at the piston and slowly goes up to the wheel, and then the wheel rotates. Only then the car moves. Okay? Now, even though the movement started at the piston and ended up the wheel and makes the car move, suppose you want to stop the car, where will you apply the brake? At the piston, where the movement started? No. At the very extreme outward side, the wheel. You apply the brake because the movement became grosser and grosser and grosser and manifests more in the wheel. So you apply the brake at the wheel and then in turn it reverses the action and stops the piston also if you don't declutch. I'm using my old automobile engineering knowledge. Likewise, you move your hand up. This is the gross movement, physical movement. But where did it originate? First I have to think. Right? I think of moving my arm. Then the thought goes to the brain. And then brain sends a message through the motor nerves. And then goes to the muscles. And then the muscles, you say, come on, pull the muscle up. Then the muscles pull up. Then the arm goes up. So the movement of the arm started at the mind. And the entire movement is caused by the same prana. Now, if you want to gain mastery over the prana, where do you begin to gain the mastery? Where it is more expressed, the physical level, like applying the brake on the wheel. That's why you do hatha yoga, asanas. You begin to control the prana by controlling the bodily movements, disciplining them. It's not gymnastics you do. In gymnastics you don't have control, you simply exercise. But here it's a conscious slow movement. Asanas are done that way. Gentle movement like the hands of the clock. Yeah. Otherwise it can be any exercise. So conscious control over the movements of the body, the outer physical body, and through that the inner body. And then the next control comes in the breath, conscious regulating the breath, pranayama, which is next gross, a little subtler. Having controlled, learned to control that, then you go directly next into the control of the senses or control of the mind through the senses. Mind is one thing, but it works through many senses. So you again divide that. First, control the mind that goes through the eye, control the mind that goes through the tongue. See, little by little, little by little. And then directly to the mind by dharana, concentration. And then a perfect mastery of the control is applied in meditation. You have controlled. You simply told the prana, stay put. And it stays there. That is what you call prana. Our entire hatha yoga is based on the control or the mastery over the prana, vital energy that moves everything. But of course, it begins within ourselves. It is the same prana that moves atomic particles. If you could control your particles within your body, you can control even your cells of the body. You can command yourselves, don't malfunction. If any foreign cell gets into, you can order your battalion, other cells, come on, go and fight. Self-healing is possible. And if you could do that, you have controlled the inner system, which is the microcosm, the pinda, they call it. The scripture. When you can control the pinda, then it is easy for you to control the anda, the macrocosm. There are many examples for that. People control even the sun, rain, wind, clouds. By learning to control the inner world, you control the outer world. But again, as I said earlier, controlling is all right, easy, but you control it. I started with the asana, pranayama, pratyagara. But the other night I said about yamaniyama. Without yamaniyama, if you learn only this control, you will be controlling the world for your purpose. You will become another Rasputin. That is why yoga begins with yamaniyama. Keep yourself clean. Have a pure mind, a neutral mind. Then learn to control all these things. Then you will be doing good to everybody. Otherwise, you will be misusing these powers for your own self-gratification. What a great science this yoga is. There's no words to glorify it. And that is the very reason why in the modern world, in the scientific world, this being a scientific science, it's attracting all the minds of the world. It's not a surprise at all. And remember, this is what's going to help us save us. If yogis cannot save the world, nobody. I'm positive about it. And that means future world is in your hands. Save it. Let us live together harmoniously, happily, ever after. Thank you. Now a quick, short chanting and then a couple of minutes silent meditation. How about a sort of frisky chant? Okay. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om, Hari Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari, Hari Om, Om, Hari Hari, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Shanti. Shanti. Thank you.